Hello and welcome back to
Bench Bus Boys.
This is game week 18 and 19 forecast. Oh, fuck. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, g'day, Gavin. How are you going?
I'm okay, mate. It's all getting a bit chaotic in the world of FPL and EPL.
Yeah, I'm not doing okay. Thanks for asking, by the way, you prick.
I assumed. What's going on?
Well, what's not going on is Aston Villa Tottenham, which has totally thrown out my entire game week plans.
Well, we will get to that. But for this week's episode, last week's we did a report of game week 16 to 17 and talked a little bit about what we were going to do for the upcoming blank game week, double game week situation. Obviously, some time has passed. FA Cup games have been played. And this week, we're going to focus pretty heavily on the game week 18 fixtures, six of them, and then game week 19, shitloads of them, and what has happened since. We'll jump straight into game week 18, have a quick break, game week 19, and then after that, we've got two lovely questions for the mailbag this week. And then we'll finish talking about what we're going to do for those two game weeks. If you do want to send in a message for our socials or mailbag at Bench Boost Boys, email address benchboostboys@gmail.com, website benchboostboys.club.
Or just hit us up on Twitter.
We like to Twitter, don't we?
Yeah, and join our league too. We've got our own little private league. Absolutely no cash prize, so come and join it for that. The code is P2IFBX. That's F for fuck.
Oh fuck.
Well, let's get the episode.
Let's get straight into it, Scott. You strapped in?
Yeah, I've got it. What?
In, not on.
Yep.
Let's get to it. Scott, game week 18 fixtures. There's six of them.
Yeah, not many.
And the first one is Sheffield United versus Newcastle.
Going to call it now. There are only six fixtures, but this is the yawn match of the week.
There has to be a yawn match.
Yeah. So a lot of people in the lead up to game week 18 have decided to free hit into this game week. And this fixture stands alone for a couple of reasons. One, Darlow. People are loving that Newcastle goalkeeper for some reason. And Wilson, popular pick at front.
Yeah.
But a big one just to kind of fill the void on the bench for a lot of players, potentially myself included, is our man Brewster.
Ryan Brewster. If ever there was a time for him to kick on.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt many people are going to be starting him, but he's a bit of a, you know, as a $4.5 million forward, he's one of the only cheap ones that is playing this week, and he's probably going to pick up a few minutes, so yeah.
Well, I guess it also depends what your tactics are for this game week. Not everybody is playing chips. Someone might already have Brewster on their bench, and he might just end up slotting him because there is only six fixtures.
Yeah, the other player for Newcastle that affects me is Jamal Lewis. I've had him for a little while. He's still 75%, so he's got himself, I think it's a hamstring injury or a knee injury, one of those two things.
Sure.
Either way, not expected to play.
And obviously Sam Maximin is still out with something called COVID.
Oh, has he got it?
Apparently.
Ooh.
So, that's that game. Next one, Burnley versus Manchester United.
Yeah, I think Man U should pretty much walk all over Burnley. Charlie Taylor still out. Injured, hamstring, unknown return date at this point. So I think they've obviously done a few more scans because I think for a little while that was just sitting at 50%. I think now it's actually confirmed it's going to be a bit longer than 50% times that time period. So I think it's looking like it might be a bit of a long-term injury. So Charlie Taylor out for that one. And you've said Pope might be out.
Yeah, it could just be tabloid gossip. But something came up in the news today, and obviously we record this on a Tuesday evening in Australia. Pope might not be fit. That's a big deal for Burnley, as he's pretty much their best player.
Yeah. For me, the one to watch in this fixture is obviously Bruno Fernandes. I know there was also talk that maybe Paul Pogba would be out. That actually isn't even confirmed on the fantasy website at the moment, but that's come straight out of Solskjaer's mouth. So
yeah. I heard that too. I agree. Fernandez, probably a good captain pick for this, depending on who else you've got in your team.
Yeah, and obviously the other fixture that people are looking at in terms of captaincy choices for these six game weeks, Man City, Brighton, and potentially people will be looking at the Tottenham or the Spurs assets, Son and Kane for the Fulham game.
Sure.
But otherwise, yeah, Bruno Fernandez for me, away. You know, we know he loves to play well away, so Pretty easy captain choice for me.
Okay. Wolves versus Everton. DCL.
Yeah, I woke up to that news.
Mm.
Pretty upsetting. And it really put a dampener on my plans for this game week.
Oh, it might also knock the wheels off of Everton's season, depending on how long he's out for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do we know how major it is?
Well, no. No known return date. And it is a hamstring, so it's pretty serious by the sounds of things. So, yeah, for me, Richarlison has to kind of step up. Not even sure if he's fully fit.
No. Well, he's 75%, so he may well play.
Yeah. In FBL, Allen's
still out.
I mean, James Rodriguez probably not going to fill the void, really, as a striker. I mean, definitely not, to be honest. So, yeah, I think Everton might have a bit of a hard time for it, which makes me kind of think that maybe looking at Wolves' defensive assets might not be a bad shout. And we know Romain Saiss has weaseled his way back into the team, and he's actually playing pretty well. So, one to look out for. And Roy Patricio as a goalkeeper, phenomenal.
Mm. We shall see. Manchester City against Brighton Hove Albion. You reckon there's going to be a lot of rotation in the City side for this one? Or
I just can't. So they've got five fit defenders. Diaz, Cancelo, Kyle Walker, Stones and Mendy. So just too many defenders at the moment. The one that stands out to me is the player that's least likely to play is probably Mendy. John Stones has been playing well. I know a lot of people are loving the way Cancelo is playing at the moment, so he's an extremely popular pick, not just for the game week, not just for the free hitters, but just in general. So yeah, I think there's going to be a bit of rotation there in the back line. There's really no guarantee with Stones. He's quite well liked for his price point. I think he's around the 5 million mark, which is quite cheap for a Man City defender.
Yep.
You know, for me, the only consistency in that Manchester City lineup is KDB. So Aguero is not playing all that many minutes at the moment.
No, he's out.
He's out, is he?
Mm, I read that too.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at maybe Jesus up front, and Sterling hasn't been at his best, so he's only 75%. So it's really not worth talking about Brighton as far as I'm concerned. I just don't really see them doing much against a Man City side that's actually hitting their stride.
Not to mention the fact that Welbeck and Lamptey are both out.
Yeah. And, I mean, Welbeck's not super exciting to watch. He's a decent striker, but, you know, Tarek Lamptey's that player that a lot of people had their eye on at the start of the season, and his injuries kind of changed the plans of a lot of FPL managers. So, yeah, I don't know. I think this should be a pretty easy game for City. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, I agree. I'm most intrigued to just see who's actually in that starting 11, particularly the likes of, you know, Foden, and then, as you say, the defenders. So we'll see.
Yeah, quite a few people actually banking on multiple Man City defenders in this fixture. So, you know, if Brighton do manage to get a goal, that's going to spoil a lot of FPL managers' plans for this game week. The next game's Tottenham Fulham.
Yeah, okay. So
it was originally going to be Aston Villa Tottenham.
Right.
Yeah. So that one was cancelled, obviously. Villa had so many reported COVID cases. They ended up fielding a very understrength squad against Liverpool in the FA Cup during the midweek.
It was a bunch of kids, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they actually did pretty well.
They did do all right, and that goal they scored was good.
Yeah, so it was 4-1 in the end to Liverpool. We're not talking about Aston Villa at the moment, but we are talking about the fact that that did change a lot of players' plans. That game being cancelled actually completely decimated my squad. I did have Eric Dier for Tottenham, obviously still playing, but I had Ollie Watkins and Jack Grealish, as well as Martinez in goals. So, yeah, three of my players not playing anymore, which totally changed my plans, which I will get to at the end of the show, but it's changed a lot of plans for a lot of people. And now, I think Tottenham at home against Fulham is a bit more of an attractive fixture anyway.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we talked about earlier in the season the whole thing with Son and Kane, not exclusively, but it had been performing better when teams really come at them. I don't see Fulham doing that, so I'll just be intrigued to see if Son and Kane can still pull that together. I mean, we know that Fulham aren't much cop.
Yeah, no. I mean, Fulham like to run at teams and maybe cause a little bit of damage on the counter attack, but they've got a pretty sloppy defense. So yeah, I think Kane and Son can cut through it pretty quickly. And what's his name? Vinicius. He scored about three goals in the FA Cup. I know they were playing a team called Marine. They were from like the fourth division or something.
You don't know Marine?
No. So, you know, there's nothing to, you know, scoff at, but maybe he gets a run for a change. Cause
who knows? Because there's definitely going to be some of these teams who are going to want to rest some players for their big old Game Week 19, which we'll get to shortly.
Yeah, but despite the fact that the Game Week 19 is a double game week, it's not for Tottenham. But it is still close because the weekend is obviously, you know, these are midweek fixtures. So the weekend is coming up pretty quickly. I know the Spurs aren't playing until a little bit later. Maybe I think it's like a Monday night or something like that. So there's a chance that some players will get rested and maybe Vinicius will get an actual shot. So maybe a differential pick there.
Oh, perhaps. And then last game of Game Week 18 is Arsenal versus Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Everyone's jumped on that Arsenal bandwagon, just as I jumped off it.
They're doing it to spite you.
I've been an Arsenal fan since I was, 11 years old. But this season, they just frustrated me so much. But, you know, I think I made the announcement on the podcast. I'm not sure if Arteta was listening or not. I can almost guarantee you he probably was. But all of a sudden, Arsenal have just turned a corner. Mm. And it's just made their FPL assets that much more attractive. Big one that had a huge game week last week was obviously Tierney.
Yeah.
18 points for a defender it's a huge haul.
Yeah.
The other ones that kind of stand out for me, Lacazette, he's in really good form at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the younger fellas that Arsenal have.
Saka
and Smith Rowe.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Really, really cheap. So I think Smith Rowe is about 4.4 mil. And Saka around that 5.7 mark. Saka's guaranteed minutes, and Smith Rowe's been playing quite a lot. So
there's a lot of hype around him suddenly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the interesting thing as well is, like, for me, slightly cynical, but I'll be watching because this is a crossroads for Arsenal in my mind. This is either they've had their turning point for the season and now they kick on, or they prove that it hasn't quite got there and it was a bit of a fluke, and Crystal Palace get the upset win, Zaha scores or something.
Yeah, we actually both have that, you know, kind of in our notes that Zaha is the kind of player that loves this sort of fixture, so could up and spoil Arteta's plans.
Maybe. We shall see. All right, let's catch our breath quick and then we're going to launch into the monster that is Game Week 19. See you in a sec. We're back. Game Week 19 fixtures. There's a lot of them, and it starts with Wolverhampton Wanderers versus West Bromwich Albion.
Feeling sorry for West Brom.
Are you?
They don't have any easy fixtures. Well, they never do they?
How are they going to have them this year?
Premier League whipping boys. Yeah, no. Wolves, this is the only game of their weekend. So Game Week 19, they don't have a double fixture. So for them, they've got no reason not to throw everything they've got at this game. Obviously, Jimenez is still out. Back at training, though, I heard, which is good.
Oh, that's cool.
Good news, yeah. And Pedence is out as well. But, you know, Pedro Neto's kind of stepped up and he's scored, three goals, had three assists, I think, in the last six games. So he's playing quite well for Wolves. And we know Fabio Silva's finally got his first goal for Wolves in one of the last couple of game weeks. So should be a comfortable win for Wolves. Probably even a clean sheet in there for those who do actually own Romain Saiss, like I said. Next fixture, though, Leeds, your boys versus Brighton.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Ben White's been telling all his Brighton teammates all our secrets as he was with Leeds last season and we tried to buy him. We couldn't get him. Anyway, I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on Rafinha and Jack Harrison in particular.
Why those two?
Because I really rate them both. Haven't seen a lot of Rafinha, obviously being a new signing, but he seems to be settling. And what I'm looking for with Jack Harrison is he's been quite inconsistent. He tends to do a bit of an Andy Murray when things aren't going his way and gets a bit stroppy and it affects his performances. But when he's doing well, the guy looks like he could walk into most teams in the Prem. So I'm just keeping a close eye on them to see if I might be able to work them into my team a bit later on.
Rafinha to me is probably the more obvious choice there because, like you said, Jack Harrison's not really consistent, and that's sort of what you need from an FPL asset.
Yeah.
yeah, for me, this one is an interesting fixture. The corresponding fixture at the back end of the game week, I'm just going to quickly touch on it now because it does affect Leeds, is Leeds-Southampton. There's a lot of talk that this game is going to be postponed.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, the Leeds assets were very attractive in this game week 19, especially Patrick Bamford. And I know Rafinha is actually on a lot of people's minds as well as Dallas and maybe even Alioski. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep an eye on this because to me, the Leeds assets are still really attractive for the wild card that I plan on playing soon in the coming weeks. So, yeah, I'd be keen to see the resulting the result of this fixture. I also kind of I wouldn't mind seeing Ben White's form because he's at 4.4 million. He's actually quite a cheap Brighton asset that plays quite regularly, and I already have him.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose, as you say, for a cheap asset, it's probably a good shout. I don't know really if Brighton are the sort of team that are going to keep lots of clean sheets. Ben White doesn't tend to score many goals, certainly doesn't get assists, but he's a solid defender.
Mm.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But Rafinha has very much cemented his place in that lead side. He's keeping like Helder Costa out of the team. So, yeah, if he keeps banging in those goals, he's got an awesome like long-distance pass and cross on him. So I can see a lot of people bringing him in.
And Helder Costa played all of that FA Cup match too in midweek for Leeds. So
probably he's to rest.
Probably going to be rested as well. West Ham and Burnley is the next fixture.
I'm worried about West Ham.
Really?
Only because outside of Antonio now, not that Haller was ripping up trees, but he's gone. They've got one striker really now at the club. Discounting, I guess, youth players. They haven't exactly relied too much on their strikers this season. Suchek, guy's been on fire. Bowen's been good. Creswell's been good. Ogbonna, like they've got some fantastic players, but I don't know. It's not a comforting thought.
Yeah, their goals don't tend to come from their strikers. They tend to come from their midfield players, and Suchek's been popping up quite regularly to score goals. Do you think that maybe with the transfer out for Allaire back to France, I think he went to France, didn't he?
Oh, I can't remember. No, I think he went to Italy or somewhere anyway.
Yeah, Italy's part of France. do you think that they're trying to free up some funds? I know they took a huge hit when they sold him. Do you think they're trying to free up funds to maybe bring someone else in?
I don't know.
We don't speculate on this podcast. This is about fantasy.
I know. But anyway, another thing, a little side note then to close off that comment is that West Ham have been linked with tons of strikers. We're in the January transfer window, so don't be too surprised if someone comes in for West Ham, but obviously that's not going to help you with game week 19. So to get back on point, Suchek, let's see if his form continues. That guy's having a fantastic run of games.
Yeah, and cheap as chips.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Burnley, who knows?
You know, my only comments for this game were that Burnley are a bit of a tough nut to crack for most mid-table teams. They play quite well. You know, they play quite well against top sides. They play quite well against mid-table sides, and they certainly play well against bottom-of-the-table sides defensively. They're not obviously not going off and scoring a heck of a lot of goals.
Yeah.
I know there is concern, obviously, about Nick Pope being out still, but...
And Taylor.
Charlie Taylor out as well. But they are a tough nut to crack. So West Ham aren't going to have an easy run of it in this game. Yeah, or
this could be a 1-0.
Yeah, or I could be proven wrong.
Time will tell.
Happens. Regularly.
Well, yeah. Thank God.
But we admit it when it happens.
Well, some more than others. Fulham versus Chelsea. James for Chelsea got an unknown return date. Lampard's another one. A bit like Pep's going to play a bit of rotation roulette, I'm sure.
Yeah, we actually have an interesting question, a juicy question in the mailbag coming up about Lampard, actually. But one thing I will say about this fixture is that Fulham have absolutely nothing to lose here. They're not expected to win. But Lampard is under quite a bit of scrutiny, and Scott Parker really isn't, even though he probably deserves to be a little bit. There seems to be a little bit more forgiveness for Scott Parker for whatever reason, but Lampard's at the helm of an extremely big club, and he spent $250 million or whatever it was in the transfer window, and he hasn't delivered points. So he's probably at risk at this point, I'd say, as a manager. Maybe the next manager to go if he can't turn things around.
Who knows? And I'm sure we'll get to it in the mailbag, but losing against Fulham certainly wouldn't help him.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. I think Fulham have nothing to lose here by just going at Chelsea. And Lampard might be trying to, you know, change things up, mix things up, just to make sure that they don't lose this fixture.
Well, they also might play a weakened side because you might be thinking, well, later on in the game, they've got Leicester away, and that's a tougher proposition.
It is a tougher proposition. Giroud, as well as being touted as maybe moving away from Stamford Bridge at some point as well, so he might be...
You wouldn't blame him.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be fair, but he's actually in really good form at the moment for them.
He's doing great.
Yeah, if he's looking to make himself a more attractive prospect for clubs, maybe he's going to hit some more good form, you know, in this fixture. The next one is Leicester Southampton.
Should be a good game, that. Vardy should be back for that one, and James Maddison. I think a Leicester team with Vardy in it will give Southampton a bit of a run around, but I feel like they're probably quite evenly matched.
Yeah, this to me is a very evenly matched game, just because of the form that Southampton's kind of been in. And Leicester City's obviously capable of turning it on against any team. But I think I saw you maybe potentially had this one touted as being a draw, potentially even a nil-all draw. And I agree. I think it could be a draw. And I think
Southampton have had tons of clean sheets this season.
Yeah. Vestergaard's still out, obviously, so he's injured. I think Kyle Walker-Peters is someone that you've had in your team for a lot of the season. I took him out a couple of weeks ago. And then he hit double digits, I think. Well, yeah, he got a nine-pointer or something. Incredibly frustrating.
One down point, though, for Southampton is McCarthy might not be fit to play in goal. I don't know where else he'd play, but McCarthy might not be fit.
Yeah, didn't he end up getting COVID?
Don't know. Tis the season.
Yeah, Aston Villa, Everton's the next fixture. Villa have been rocked by COVID. You know, I hope they can... field a full strength squad for this team.
Well, that's the I think it's the worry across games, both these game weeks, isn't it? Let's, you know, how much more will COVID affect the fixtures?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are waiting till the very last minute to pull the trigger on making any moves, making the decision on whether or not they're going to play a free hit quite late, because there's always a chance that, you know, there are other fixtures that are postponed and potentially even a full circuit break, which they are talking about. I know that underneath the championship in Scotland, all football's been suspended for, I think, about 3 weeks. So there's a chance that, you know, maybe England follows suit and that could roll up to the Premier League eventually.
Maybe.
No, we don't talk about that stuff though on the podcast.
Well, it affects FPL, so we've got to talk about it a bit. We will.
But it just, it kind of shows to me that there's just absolutely no point in planning. This is there even really any point to this podcast?
Oh God, are you having some kind of existential crisis?
Well, I mean, all of the plans I had, fucking spreadsheet, Gavin.
I knew this day would come.
I don't even know why you make it.
That your perfect spreadsheet wouldn't save you and your world would crumble.
Yeah. Jack Grealish, if they do play, will probably be the difference, I think, for Aston Villa against Everton.
I want to see if El Ghazi does his business as well.
Yeah, you brought him in, so that's the only reason you care. But Grealish is their talisman, whereas Everton don't seem to have that anymore, and especially now with DCL, who was playing so well at the start of the season.
Well, the start of the season, you had DCL, Richarlison, and James Rodriguez, who hit the ground running. I remember... Oh, Scott's dying. Nino. I remember at the start of the season... Are you ready? Come on, mate. You got this. There you go. It's not COVID, is it?
No.
Shouldn't laugh about that, Scott.
It's Canadian Club. This podcast is
this week's sponsor. At the start of the season, it was DCL, James Rodriguez and Richarlison. And James Rodriguez had really hit the ground running. And then I remember, it was a Spanish football journalist said, oh, the thing you need to watch out for, it was either a Spanish or a German, all the same to you, I'm sure, who said, this guy hasn't played more than 50% of any fixtures for the last two seasons, and he's going to find it really tough in the Premier League. And of course, we all ignored it initially because he was doing fantastic, and then it caught up with him very quickly, and he's just struggled.
Yeah. Well, that's, like I said, there's no talisman for Everton. I think Aston Villa, in seasons past, this would have been a pretty even fixture. But I think this time, looking at this season, I think Aston Villa... probably going to beat Everton.
I would pick Villa over Everton for that fixture. Then we got Sheffield United against Tottenham. Quick note about Sheffield United. I feel sorry for any West Brom fans that listen, because we give West Brom so much shit. And that comment you made earlier about West Brom are the Premier League whipping boys Just imagine West Brom fans watching this going, or listening to this saying, what the fuck? What about Sheffield United?
I'd just be happy to hear that there was a West Brom fan listening. No, I mean, yeah, Sheffield are absolute shit, but we know that about Sheffield.
It's no secret. We expect it. With West Brom, you're like, you expect more? There's no rhyme or reason to this, is there?
No.
Anyway, point being, Sheffield United get absolutely thumped by Tottenham.
Yeah. Another team that only has one fixture, and that is Tottenham. But in this fixture, Son and Kane are more than capable of scoring more points than some of the players that are playing in two fixtures.
It will be playground fixture this for them.
Yeah, just purely based on form and the ease at which Sheffield United have been beaten by so many teams this season. The next game is the game of the week.
Absolutely, the game of the whole double game week. I kind of see it. And it's obviously a bit dismissive, but it's very much from an FPL perspective. Salah versus Fernandes.
Yeah, you even tried to make the whole podcast about that. I would have agreed with you 2 weeks ago when Salah wasn't in poor form, but at the moment he's been in pretty shit form. So he needs to do something, and he needs to do something quickly to turn that around. I don't think Man United is the team that he's going to do it against, but Salah's one of those players where he can prove us wrong just purely by being Salah.
It's a good time for Man United to play Liverpool as well. Liverpool with obviously that weakened defence. Had Jordan Henderson at the back the other week. So, I don't know. It depends if, Fernandes you can rely on to do something. Let's see if Pogba's back and fit. Rashford's firing.
Martial's always capable of scoring.
Might see a Man United win there, you know. Just saying.
Has anyone beaten Liverpool at Anfield in the last 2 years?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, Scott. I'm so sorry.
Google it while I talk about Man City versus Crystal Palace. One of the only players that won't be rotated out for this fixture is KDB. He'll play minutes. I can't see Crystal Palace beating Man City, so I think KDB is going to take them down single-handedly.
Sure. I wouldn't be too surprised if you saw Sterling back in the team as well for City in this one. I agree. The KDB show. So maybe a shout there, actually, if you're... I don't know, actually. I know we're going to talk about our plans, but would you agree that if possible, and if the fixtures make sense, outside of your Tottenham comment, that you might want to captain someone who's playing twice?
Okay, of course, yeah. When you're looking at the fixtures... Tottenham's assets are capable of scoring more points than a lot of players, but I don't think Son and Kane can score more points than KDB playing twice against teams like
Crystal Palace and Villa.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a no-brainer that you'd be captaining someone like KDB, potentially even Bruno Fernandes, almost Salah. I mean, Salah's the kind of player that can step up against Man United. Fernandes is the kind of player that can step up against Liverpool. Now, Liverpool are then playing Burnley and Man United are playing Fulham. So there's no real bad captaincy choice, but the easiest fixtures for those three players are for KDB. And that's
definitely why a person might be nervous about captaining, you know, Fernandes or whoever, just because they've got a tough opponent, right?
Yeah, but that could make them, truthfully, a more attractive differential captain pick.
Sure.
Yeah, and I know that KDB's one of the most transferred in players of the game week. I think he's looking at, and this is game week 18, mind you. Obviously, game week 18, Man City are actually playing. But that's going to flow through to game week 19 for a lot of players. And KDB, I think he's been transferred in close to 500,000 times already. So he's sort of a no-brainer for a captaincy choice in game week 19. I would say that... when we're looking back at game week 19 on that FPL website, it does tell you who the most captain player was.
Yeah.
I reckon I could bet a lot of money that it'll be KDB. I mean, I reckon I could definitely bet that, but I reckon I'll be right. In fact, wager?
No, thank you.
Oh, so you agree?
If you like. Arsenal versus Newcastle. Jamal Lewis should be back for Newcastle. We'll see. You know, how Arsenal fared in game week 18 and if they can carry that into 19. So there's a lot of supposition here, analysing so many fixtures in advance. But you'd think if they do maintain their form, should be an easy win for Arsenal.
Yeah. I think this is where we're kind of hitting those double fixtures. The next game is West Ham, West Brom. Again, I just mentioned this. West Brom can't catch a break. West Ham's not going to be an easy fixture for them. I think they're going to be in a fair bit of trouble.
You'd assume a West Ham win there for sure.
Yeah, the next game, probably the second game of the game week, is Leicester City, Chelsea.
Okay. Vardy should be fine at that point. I mean, the thing that we can't really account for is if there are any injuries in game week 18 or the first round of fixtures in 19. So, you know, we'll analyse it based on what we know right now, but that will be interesting to see, not to mention the bloody COVID. But assuming that Vardy's fit, should turn it on a bit against Chelsea, but will be a good game.
Yeah. I just avoid those Chelsea midfield assets because they're just, it's too hard to predict.
I know, it does my head in. Yeah. Well, the strikers as well, to be fair.
Yeah, well.
Outside of Timo Werner, who doesn't really score many points.
Yeah, exactly. So is it going to be Tammy Abraham? Is it going to be Giroud? And who is going to be playing off Timo Werner? Well, who is Timo Werner going to be playing off, actually?
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to, like you said, he doesn't score a lot of points, so. If you're going to be banking on anyone at Chelsea, bank on Mendy, the goalkeeper. Leeds Southampton, again,
might be
potentially postponed.
So,
in fact, it's very likely that it's going
to
be postponed.
Yeah, I think so. They're just waiting for the FA to approve the Southampton's FA Cup game needs to be rescheduled. They want to do it when this fixture is on, or around it at least, sorry, around it.
Probably more important to get the FA Cup match out of the way just so that they can obviously do the next round of fixtures for the FA Cup, because you can fit in a Premier League game pretty much anywhere in the season.
Yeah, well, the FA had said quite early on that they didn't want to postpone any FA Cup fixtures, and teams will have to field the kids if they need to, which is obviously what Villa did. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's looking quite likely that game will be postponed.
Yeah, the next match is Fulham versus Man United. I only have one comment, Bruno.
100%. What else is there to say?
The next one, Man City versus Aston Villa. So Man City's second game again against a weakened opposition in Aston Villa. And I say weakened opposition because COVID. Well, I think there's like 16 backroom staff and players. A lot of them are backroom staff, but a lot of players also out with COVID for Aston Villa. So I know we're probably about 10 days away from that game. So they'll likely be back, but still... that means they're out of training. They're not going to be fully fit because we know COVID does stuff to your lungs. So I think KDB is, for me, the choice of captain for this game week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then the final game of game week 19, Liverpool versus Burnley.
Yeah, this, for me, is the fixture where Salah needs to find his form.
Oh, he absolutely has to.
Hey, I mean, he could do it against Man United. He's capable.
Yeah, I know. But the way I always try and approach FPL is a game of probability. So I always, you know, I think even if a player's good, if he's coming up against a very good side, then I'm a bit shy around captaining that player. Obviously, it doesn't mean, you know, if they're good players, they'll perform whoever the opposition. But Salah versus Man United versus against Salah versus Burnley, you'd expect him to do better in the Burnley game. Doesn't necessarily mean it will.
Salah is, KDB is, Bruno Fernandes is, they all are fixture proof. But a betting man would say Salah's going to do more against Burnley than Man United. You're absolutely 100%, right.
Yeah. But, you know, if we knew exactly what was going to happen, it wouldn't be a very fun game.
Right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come and answer a question
for the mailbag?
Yep.
All right, we'll be back. Bench Boss Boys. Mailbag time. Apparently it's mailbag time. Scott, who's the first question?
Mr. Armstrong of Wandering Bishops asks, and this is not an FPL question, and I threw it in here. I picked it out of all the questions we received, all two of them, and I decided I wanted to answer it anyway because I think it's a really juicy question. Does Frank Lampard deserve more time than other Chelsea managers do?
Can you speak English?
Does he deserve more time than other Chelsea managers due to his lack of experience? He has the lowest points average of any last 10 Chelsea managers. Now, I didn't fact check this, but let's answer it anyway.
I want to just say, actually, I don't think it's about his lack of experience. I don't think Abramovich and Chelsea give a shit about that. If they did, they wouldn't have employed him. I think the reason why he's been given a bit more of an opportunity is because he's this ex-player club legend. And it's probably a little bit the same for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. So that's my personal opinion as to why they appear to be giving him a little bit more rope.
The question was, does Frank Lampard deserve more time? For me, the answer is absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
This is a results-based industry.
Yeah.
If you are running or managing what is arguably one of the top four clubs in the English Premier League, you need to be running that team.
Why'd they give him the job in the first place, though? Because he's a club legend, right? What credentials has he got?
Oh, maybe he deserves the chance, but does he deserve more time? No, I don't think that they can take a player and go, well, because you're a club legend, we're going to give you an extra. I do like the fact that some teams do hold on to managers for a little bit longer, but you know, there's a lot that Frank Lampard needs to learn. He's very young.
Chelsea are ninth in the table, 7 wins, 5 draws, 5 losses.
Yeah, so they've won or drawn more than they've... they've lost or drawn more than they've won.
They've not won in the last 3 games.
Yeah, so for me...
In the Premier League.
For me, give Frank Lampard a chance, yes, but give him a chance again in 5 or 10 years' time when he's had a chance to manage maybe a different team in the Premier League or maybe a team in the Championship.
Well, he was the manager at Derby.
And for how long?
Not that long, a couple of years, if that, 18 months. And he got them to the playoff final and lost. I think he's very naive. I think he's obviously doing well. I mean, for me, it's a double-edged sword. When you manage a huge team and you're a young manager and you don't have much experience, it must be very hard to manage that dressing room. But because he does come with that club legend status, I feel like people probably do give him a bit more respect than a player or a manager, who maybe has the same experience level. But I guess, yeah, I got a bit ahead of myself, but I'm imagining that if they do give him more time, it's likely to be not because they think, oh, he's inexperienced, let's, you know, have a heart. It will be because he's a club legend and they don't want to upset the fans. But that's not an infinite amount of time or opportunities there.
Yeah. So does Frank Lampard deserve more time?
More time than other Chelsea Gavin. Managers.
Yes. Yes or no? Does Frank
Lampard? No, sorry, the answer's no.
I think no as well.
Sorry. You said it would be juicy. I added the juice.
Okay, my apologies. What's the next question?
Nick Abrizzi Ballers, he's written in a few times, asks, bench boost or triple captain for game week 19? Kind of depends what other chips or what your tactics were.
Depends on what your team looks like. For me, the obvious one is bench boost. Because if you've got three...
Did you say it was bench boost, boys?
Just bench boost.
Okay.
If you've got 3 extra players or 4 potentially playing 2 games, that's going to get you more points than one player playing twice and getting 3 times the amount of points. Because 4 players on a bench playing 2 games is 8 extra opportunities to get points. A triple captain on a player playing in a double game week like a KDB.
Who gets 2 points in 6 games? I suppose, you know, I can completely understand why someone might look at this double game week situation and think, fuck me, what if I triple captain KDB in this week if he's in your team and he gets...
Get out of my fucking head, Gavin.
15 points in both games or something.
Yeah, could happen. Could actually happen.
But, like we said earlier, if you're playing the probability game and you're the gambling man and you're approaching this from that analytical FPL point of view, what are the odds saying regards your return? Are they saying bench boost?
Bench boost.
Yeah.
If you've got 4 players that score 2 points each, right, across those 2 games, right, so they're scoring 4 points each. 4 times 4 is 16 points. Now, if KDB scores 2 points in each of those 2 games and you triple captain him, he scores 4 points multiplied by 3, that's 12 points. So mathematically, bench boost.
Quick maths.
Makes a little bit more sense. It's obviously not that black and white, but bench boost should actually get you a little bit more points in the long run. Now, the other thing to take into consideration is Nick might be asking us whether or not we're planning on doing it. I don't think he does. I don't think he cares too much. But the answer is neither. I'm not doing either.
Well, do you want to bloody save it? Because after the break, we're going to talk about what we're going to do in game week 18 and then what we're going to do in game week 19. Can you just be a bit patient?
Is it me or Nick?
You? Nick's not here. Is Nick going to be talking after the break about his game week 18 and 19?
I doubt Nick will even be listening.
Special guest. Oh, don't say that. Oh. All right. Well, do you feel we've adequately answered those questions?
I do.
I don't know if we. I don't know if I answered the first one adequately, but certainly said words.
A lot of them. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Welcome back on the Benchables, boys.
Scott, what are you doing for game week 18, mate? Do you want to have a little moan first about how your perfect plans just fell to shit?
No, because I am an FPL manager. I have been on Twitter enough in the last 3 days to know that I'm not the only one whose plans have gone to shit. What do they say? The best laid plans of mice and men? Yeah, I don't know how that quote finishes. Like something about cheese, I'm sure. But look, I've had to play my free hit. The guy that said, oh, I'm going to save that chip for later on in the season because I'm better than everyone and I'm planning for game week 18 and yada, yada.
You said you were better than everyone.
I still think I'm better than everyone, but okay. I've had to play it. I've had to play my free hit.
Do you know, I don't know if it made you feel any better, but my comment to you when you told me that was very much that it wasn't in vain totally, because you all that planning you did, you know, it was for the right reasons and you had a backup plan, which you've now put into action. So it's a shame, but at least you're in a good position.
Yeah.
Imagine
it still doesn't feel good.
Well, it could be worse though.
I've played one of my three chips and I'm not happy about it.
Love chips.
Let me go through my team real quick. I'm playing a 3-5-2. My goalkeeper at the moment, I have Ruddy in, and that's the backup to Roy Patricio. Playing it like that because if Roy Patricio starts the game and within 20 minutes gets himself a red card, he'll go off and Ruddy will get all the points.
But it all worked out,
it's
eh?
It's a fucking flawless plan.
Heard that before.
One of many players who did bring in Kieran Tierney. I've got Joao Cancelo. I still have him. He was actually part of my team, so I didn't free hit him in. He's just part of my team. Bought in Wan-Bissaka. I think they're going to keep a clean sheet this weekend. Captaining Fernandez. I've got vice-captain for KDB. I've bought Son back into my team. It's been quite a few weeks. He only scored 1,000 points while he wasn't in my team, but now he's back. Pedro Neto in. I've bought in Smith Rowe. Cheever's chips, and he's actually going to be starting for me. I think he can actually play. He's playing as a proper number 10, so yeah. They finally have that now that Ozil's probably going off to Fenerbahce, actually.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
And I've got Harry Kane as my starting striker, as well as Lacazette. So on my bench, Roy Patricio, like I said, flawless plan. If Riley doesn't play at all, Patricio will just slot straight in. John Stones from Man City on the bench. I didn't want to double down on Man City defenders because, like I said, if Maupay gets a penalty and he scores it, then all of a sudden you've lost two clean sheets there. Rhian Brewster and Tyrick Mitchell on my bench.
There you go. All right. Well, I was firmly in the free hit realm. That was always going to happen for me. I did mention it briefly last week, but plan is still the same. Starting 11 is Leno, Tierney, Wan-Bissaka, Cancelo, Neto, De Bruyne, Fernandes, who I'm captaining, if that's a word, Son, Lacazette, Kane and Wilson.
I've just done a quick count on my hand. We have 9.
You have the same players.
Of the same players.
I don't know, mate. Maybe we're, you know, great minds and all that.
Unimaginative, yes. You're right. So I think the only difference is Leno in goals for yourself. And
have you got Wilson?
Callum Wilson. No, I don't know. Okay. I've got...
Hopefully they'll make me all the difference.
I've got... what's his name? The young fellow that I said from Arsenal. Smith Rowe, yeah. Starting in place. Yeah. If I could go back and... Now that I've seen your team, I can make some changes.
Good luck. All right.
No, I trust him.
All right, should we go straight into game week 19 then?
All right, but can you just play one of the little sound bites just to... No, yep, that one. Yep.
Bench Boss Boys.
Okay, game week 19.
Yep.
I don't have many notes here because looking at my team as it stands prior to free hitting, game week 19... I have too many players now that have picked up injuries. So yeah. DCL, Welbeck, Taylor, Lewis, and McCarthy. So that's 5 of my 15 players. Nearly a third of my team out. Now, let's say for a hot minute that Lewis is back. Not a very strong player to come back. Let's say McCarthy's over his COVID.
Yeah.
I've still got 3 players out. Now, DCL would be the one player that I would be happy to transfer out. I would bring Patrick Bamford straight into my team. He's a long-term prospect for me, and it would save me approximately $1.4 million, which would maybe mean that I have room to move later on, but I'm sick of watching Son score lots of points and not have him. I'm sick of watching the other Leeds defenders like Dallas.
Yep.
So I think I'm just going to pull the trigger and play my wild card. And that means it's not worth me talking about what my team's going to look like in game week 19, because the second I pull the trigger on that wild card, my team is going to change at least 30 times before that game starts.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to do the same. What I can tell you is, pending any kind of mental injuries or COVID business, for game week 19, I will want KDB in my team. Just saying. It feels obvious, but I too will play my wild card. And just, yeah, there'll be, I'd say KDB and Chilwell from Chelsea perhaps.
Yeah, we'll go back in time a little bit. We'll take the time machine back and sure. We'll go back to last week's question. I think it was, the game week 16, game week 17 forecast. One Tom Mann asked, are there any players that you absolutely must have in your team? Kind of applies to the situation for both of us because we're both playing our wild card. So just off the top of my head, three players. For me, Patrick Bamford.
Yep.
Son Heung-min.
Mm-hmm.
Bruno Fernandes. Now, I already have Bruno Fernandes, so it feels like a little bit cheap me saying that, but there's just absolutely no way that I would pull the trigger on the wild card and take him out of my team. He is just in such good form. Who are the three for you? You've just said two of them, but you can have another three if you feel like you want to keep expanding on it.
I feel like I am expanding.
Not on a new year, new you situation at New Year's?
Bit delayed onset there. Chilwell for Chelsea.
Yeah, you already talked about him, but I was going to give you three more. But
three more?
All right. No, that's fine. We'll do Chilwell. Chilwell's a good shout because I want him back because he was that defender that was just scoring a heck of a lot of points.
I still like Stuart Dallas. He's in my team. Fernandes is in my team. Salah's in my team. For me, the tricky thing, Bamford's a no-brainer. For me... And I'm sorry, it's not really answering your question, but
I don't... You really love not answering the question.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be more the challenge of getting KDB, and I'm pretty happy with a lot of the players. Also, it will be who is fit, who's playing well. It feels like a long way away, and it's going to come around really quick. And between COVID injuries and players getting rested and rotated... I can't tell you too much about exactly what's going to happen in 19.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah, so any tips to people? Because obviously as we record this and as if people listen to it when it comes out, they will have time to make some decisions for 18 and obviously definitely 19. Any final tips for people?
My final tip for people, if you're listening up to this point and you don't already have Twitter, get on Twitter. Follow Ben Crallen. He's this guy that just obviously people follow him. He's extremely intelligent, but what he does is he lays out for people delays, potential postponements when they're going to replay these matches, and he actually gives you quite a lot of advanced warning of these things happening. So. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, game week 26, as an example, there's probably likely only going to be two or three actual fixtures in that game week. So another huge blank coming up. So for those of us that are pulling the trigger on our free hit or have pulled the trigger on our free hit in game week 18, we might be screwed in that game week. But the point is, Twitter is actually just a wealth of information when it comes to FPL. We try and condense it a little bit here on the podcast, but it's not that palatable, let's be honest. It's an awful podcast. I don't even listen to it.
For balance, I disagree.
Yeah, okay. The only reason I do this is I get to stare at you for about 90 minutes.
90 minutes? Is it that long?
Yeah, well, we edit a lot of it out. If you could edit out those coughs from earlier. Anyway, that's my last bit of advice. Get Twitter.
Yeah, get Twitter. And you can follow us on there at BenchBoostBoys. Don't forget you can join our private league. The code is P2IFBX. And good luck out there.
You know what? As an incentive to get more people listening than my mother.
Oh, God, what's he going to say?
Next season, let's do a cash prize for our league. God. We'll raise a little bit of cash.
All right. On that bombshell, good luck with game week 18 and 19, and we'll catch you next week. Bye, Scott.
See you next week.